Gotta catch 'em all, America. I'm Zach Manimus.
I'm Johnny Dim.
And I'm Jinx joining them today.
Hey, and you just tuned in to Whisper Public Access Radio. Today we will be analyzing a short story by Martin Short.
Who's actually a great poet, even though he's a comedian on TV.
He hasn't been on TV for several years. His latest escapade was in 2008. That would be the Jiminy Glick Show, a show where he portrayed an overweight talk show host with a penchant for glazed donuts.
Is that how we're doing this?
How's it going, everybody?
It's going.
There's one thing that I wanted to talk about right off the bat. Johnny, you got into a little bit of a spat on Facebook concerning Cecil the Leasel.
Yeah, I did.
Cecil the Lion. I mean, it was a very sad thing that happened.
Yes.
And you know, poaching's never cool. I just wanted to clear the air with that one.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, you were saying that. You know, I think what you meant to say was that it's a bad thing, but there's lots of bad things going on in Zimbabwe.
It's true,
right? But you know, I think we got to take all the bad at the same time. That's my feeling on it. There are humanitarian problems in Zimbabwe. There are poaching problems in Zimbabwe, and they're both bad.
Correct.
What's your take on it?
I didn't want to lessen that problem or say that it was a good thing that it happened. I just feel like it was distracting from what I thought were more important issues in Zimbabwe.
Okay.
To mention Zimbabwe, but with the original article you posted was just about internet mob justice
right.
being a problem.
That was the real point, and it turned into something else. But, yeah.
But we can agree that poaching's bad, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Poaching's terrible.
Absolutely.
That was the obligatory... I guess Johnny Dunn.
Johnny Dunn.
Did you just censor yourself?
I did, actually.
He's got that 1990s rapper vibe going.
But Jay Jinx, we haven't had you on the show since I asked you to go do independent reconnaissance.
It's true.
During the Death of Dim story arc.
It's true.
How'd that work out since I abandoned you and went to a different reality?
I became an accountant. And that's the end of that story. What am I doing in my life?
What have you been up to since you've been gone? Since you've been gone. Oh, I feel like I've been chewing on tinfoil.
On tinfoil. I've been mostly, you know, going to school, doing nerd stuff. Completed a Pathfinder campaign that I've been running for almost 2 years. I felt really nice.
What levels did you go from?
I went from level 1 all the way to level... They were 17. 16. They were supposed to level up to 17, but I kind of was like, nah, let's just fight the final boss.
Okay, why do you start at level 1?
Why do I start at level 1?
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I don't always. Traditionally, sometimes I start at level 3, but I generally start at level 1 because I feel like...
You're fine. I'm just increasing the gain because it looks weedy.
I got it.
Personally, I started at level 1 because, I don't know, I'm one of those guys who I like a story to start at the very beginning kind of a thing.
The thing is like, level 1 doesn't feel... Okay, level 1 feels like a beginning. Like, if you started Star Wars when, like, Qui-Gon was a baby. You know? Like, nobody... Like, some stories start with... You know,
sure.
There are characters who are already capable of daring do's and whatnot.
And you're 100% right for 3.5 and 5th. For 4th, though, if you remember, you actually started off quite a capable character level 1. You already had daily powers and whatever, so yeah.
I never played that game.
Oh, that makes me sad.
Why?
You should try it out at least once. It's the best role-playing board game you'll ever play.
Actually, that sounds accurate from what I hear. Although I would like to play a 3.5 campaign exclusively from the Miniatures Handbook.
Oh God.
That did include new classes and stuff.
We were actually talking about how some of the overpowered spells coming from the Miniatures Handbook earlier. So either way, in 3.5, I actually have been a big fan of third level is what I'll go with a lot of the time, naturally, because you get a lot of the stuff. You get a second feat.
Yeah.
You get the second level spells, which are a little more powerful. And yeah, it definitely feels like you have more HP. So it feels like your character can take a punch, can give a punch.
Yeah.
And that's if I really want the campaign to start with a bang. But a lot of times, I'll just start at first level just because I personally like to feel that one to done kind of feeling.
Yeah, I get that. I know with some of the games that I've run, I like to start them out like fourth level because I like to get to those higher levels, but I also like it to, just for story reasons, makes a lot of sense if they've been running a while, you know, like they've been adventurers or whatever for a little while, so it makes sense for them to have some stuff. But yeah, that's my point.
My thing, why I started them at 3 is because when you have a base class and you're level 1, you pretty much all the work and customization is done for you. You know, if you're a rogue and you're not taking weapon finesse at level 1, you know, then there's probably a couple of problems. You're going to run into a few problems. At least that's how I usually play them. And so when everyone gets the second feat, not just the humans, then there's real customization happening. Sure. And it becomes at that point, I think that's when it really becomes your character. Sure.
I will say that third level, I will say that's mainly a 3.5 Pathfinder issue, though. Like later.
You mean the most popular role playing game in America?
Sure. I didn't say it was. Sorry for those of you who have high headphones on. I feel it's less of an issue in later editions.
I was going to ask you guys. I mean, we don't have like of course, we didn't have like a huge agenda for this particular episode, but I did want to ask you guys well, first off, let's talk about the free games that people are getting on PlayStation Network and Xbox Live.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what we're getting for PlayStation 3.
Right.
I should know. I can
look
it up real quick.
Dude, if you haven't picked it up yet, if you have a PS4, get Rocket League before
it
goes out. It's too late.
It's August.
It's August.
No.
Oh, they'll go until the first Tuesday?
It's the first Tuesday.
Yes, get
Rocket League.
So if you're listening to this right when this comes out, you can get it still. The day that this episode comes out, yeah.
Rocket League is amazing, but it's got an extremely steep learning curve.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because when you're playing it at, like, what the three... What are they... They go by stars, or is it level, or is it pro?
I don't remember.
It's, like, novice, beginner, pro, advanced.
You can
balls.
Fly, man.
Huh?
You can fly.
Yes.
You can fly.
I love the acoustics in here.
It's very echoey.
So what can they get on PS4?
Damn, we didn't even talk about Rocket League.
I don't even care.
Dude, Rocket League is amazing.
Screw PlayStation.
But no, the whole thing is...
Oh, the claw's coming out.
No, I'm kidding.
No, he's not. He desperately
hates
it.
He's bitter.
I kid.
He kids because he hates.
But no, my whole thing is that I'm having trouble... I guess it would be the equivalent of a headbutt. Like, you're the soccer. Is it called heading?
Yeah.
It's called heading?
Yeah.
Well, how you do
a header.
How you do it is with your rocket jacks that blast your car upward for a small hop.
Okay.
And it's, I'm no good.
You're no good?
I'm no good.
It's hard to learn.
You're no good.
No, what are they getting in the new, in the new month.
Hold on. PlayStation, that's Zach's area. If he's dropping the ball on that, then that's his
I generally
fault.
Don't pay attention until someone says, "Oh my god, this is an awesome game."
Well,
yeah.
We are getting Tomb Raider Temple of Osiris.
Oh, finally.
That?
Right? Because that's the one that was that the one that Xbox had exclusively?
No.
Oh, this is the old never mind. My bad.
Is that a DLC for Tomb Raider?
No, it's a Tomb Raider co-op beat 'em up. Like you go into temples with
double dragon Tomb Raider style.
Exactly. Well, it's essentially like you. And
well, that's almost like a bird's eye view on that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it battle boobs? What is the better? Call me a battle. Never mind. That's terrible. You can edit that one out.
No, we'll leave it in. We'll just give a warning that was a really bad joke.
I mean, I'm trying to think of a good analog for it, and it's basically just it's what I said. It's Lara Croft Final Fight, except you get guns pretty much all the time.
Is it maximum croftage?
No, I wouldn't say, because like you said, it's a very wide perspective. It's okay.
It's like a puzzle.
No, it's Diablo.
Right.
It's Lara Croft.
It's very much. But there are more puzzles.
It's isometric. To that crooked angle.
Well, I mean, it's not isometric anymore because it's not 2D trying to be 3D.
I've seen a Let's Play of this game before.
Yeah.
That's why I know that. And it doesn't look like my speed, but I can see where people that like that particular style, not necessarily Lara Croft fans, but if you like that kind of play style, that could be something you might
what
like.
What if it was Halo, Temple of Osiris?
Oh, yeah, I'm all in.
Okay. same gameplay, just Master Chief beating people up.
We're also getting Limbo.
Okay.
Which is supposed to be a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played it.
I'm too fat to play Limbo.
That's extremely true.
Aww.
I can't go into that stick.
He goes limbo.
You need a flexible stick.
He can't limbo. He too thick.
Yeah, there you go.
But no, it's a monochrome side-scrolling platformer that's supposed to be, I think it's about a kid's nightmare and his nightmare.
Oh, that's been a really popular subject lately, is
torturing children?
No, it's games from the point of view of children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen several games come out that are basically trying to capture that childlike imagination.
I smell a segue, because I was going to talk about the game Chariot, which you could get last month on Xbox Live for free, because we did a Let's Play.
Well, there goes our segue.
Right, because I'm just explaining it away. God damn it. I smelled it, and I was gone. Like a fart. But
hold on, has nobody in this room played Limbo at all?
I have not.
Nope.
I remember when I looked at it, and this is really obscure, but it reminded me of this game that I played a long time ago called Shift.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played this game?
I have played Shift.
I love Shift. I'm actually really sad that it never saw like a platform release or like a larger release, because it was basically like an in-browser flash game.
Mm-hmm.
Where
you actually may have been the one. No, maybe, I don't remember. Someone told me to play it.
Oh yeah. No, that one was really cool, and the makers of Shift, if you're out there, you know, please do a Kickstarter or something. I'll contribute, because essentially it's a side-scrolling puzzle platformer, but every time you hit the Shift, it's all monochrome. You're a black character with black obstacles and a white background,
mm-hmm.
and then you hit Shift, and your character flips upside down over the axis of the obstacle that they're on, and suddenly the white background is the obstacle, and your character has become white.
Yeah, you basically... Oh, they did a game kind of like it. I don't remember what it was called. There was one, it's a very early PS4 release. They had something very similar to where you would, like, basically fade into the background and then fade into the foreground kind of a thing.
League Between Worlds?
No. Not quite.
Okay, so that's kind of the same... We were saying that's kind of the same style as... What was the
Limbo?
Limbo.
It's the art style reminds me of it. I doubt they're very similar games whatsoever. And we're also getting something called Sound Shapes, which is something that I haven't heard of even a little.
Sounds like a $5 piece of shovelware to me.
Wait, hold on.
It's lazily named.
Sound Shapes, and this is from a PlayStation blog. Sound Shapes revolves around musical platforming, fantastic visuals, and a powerful level creator.
Okay. I'll have to try it. I'm never one to just down a game, but you know what it sounds like to me? That name sounds like somebody asked a guy who doesn't speak English to describe, and he's like, Sound Shapes.
The game is the buttons.
For PS3, we are getting... PS4, we are also getting Stealth 2.
Oh?
Yeah, Stealth 2. I know it's a stealth game, and hopefully it's better than last month's stealth game, which was Styx. Have you played Styx?
No.
Styx, it's a pretty well-produced independent game.
Is it spelled S-T-Y-X?
Yes.
Okay, I figured as much.
And it is about a young goblin living in... It's like Elven District 9. Where, like, the elves, they had too much magic,
they
had to...
They eat cat food?
You know, it does. I think they eat amber, actually. It's this thing that grows from this mystical tree that also has to be inside this city. And you play a goblin and...
Amber, so it's like,
Amber is the color of your energy.
I was gonna say... That show?
The color of your gene.
You know, that show... That show that I'm watching currently.
Say again?
That show that I'm watching currently.
House of Cards.
Fringe.
Ah. Oh.
There's amber in there. Yeah.
You like it when they save the Fringe.
What?
You like it when they save the Fringe.
They save the Fringe, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, quick note on that. I've been meaning to bring this up because we talked about...
Wait, I didn't get to talk about Styx.
No, you will be able to. Just real quick. I think this is a sentence long. It's just a really long run on one because I still haven't gotten to the point yet. It's... remember I talked about Spock being in that? Leonard Nimoy?
Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah. I thought he was gone. He's not gone.
They brought him back to life.
A couple times. Go ahead, continue about Styx.
Fringe is weird.
I know, we're almost done with it. We're in the last season.
I haven't seen one episode at all.
It's pretty good.
Anyway,
Styx.
Yeah, so you play this goblin, and the stealth is really interesting, but the combat system is... it's just asinine. Because what happens is the entire perspective of the game changes to, like, a slightly over-the-shoulder... well, it's really over the head because you're so much shorter than all other characters.
So it's kind of like a third person?
Oh, it's all third person, yeah, but it's just over the head. And when you are in combat, you are locked into combat. There's no running away.
Hmm.
And there's no, okay, you're in front of me and you're not attacking me, so I hit you. Every hit that's not a counter fails. You can only counter.
Interesting.
Yeah, and you can't escape either. You have to kill them.
Hmm.
Yeah,
it does sound asinine.
It is. And
it sounds like a much more annoying version of the combat in Assassin's Creed.
Okay, which one? All of them?
Yeah. I've only played one in all the twos.
All the twos?
All the twos. There was like nine of them. Assassin's Creed 2, Taken a Dump Edition, I don't know.
I was okay with the combat in Assassin's Creed 1, because if I remember, there's no visual cues for what, for when someone's about to hit you.
Other than them just raising a sword and running at you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like in the latest Assassin's Creed, in Unity...
Do they do, like, a slowdown?
No, they shine... There's a yellow light that appears, like, I think on them or the weapon that's about to strike you. So you're like, okay, time to counter.
Okay.
And, I mean, I've got... that's a split decision for me. Because I remember that when I played Assassin's Creed 1, I was very happy. I have two thoughts on the subject. Like, in the first one, there's no visual cue. And so that makes sense because when you're fighting people, there's no visual cue. You know, you have to, like, watch them and interpret body language in order to decide whether or not they're going to harm you. And then I was playing Shadow of Mordor. And... you know, there's a lot of visual cues in that game that warn you when you're about to get hit. And I kind of understand both of them. Because Talion, growing up, well, Talion just by virtue of being a warrior in Middle-earth, like, he's a better swordsman than I am. And he understands body language of fighting multiple people better than I do. And so that visual cue is... like a trigger in his mind that I don't have.
Right.
It
kind of puts you in his perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what you prefer.
I don't know which one.
Maybe.
I think it depends on the game.
What if they weaned you off of it? What do you think of that?
Like in the early levels they had that, and then later levels they didn't.
Mm.
I think it'd be better as an option.
Yeah, turn it on and off. Like.
Yeah, have a hardcore
like
mode.
Like auto aim or whatever.
Yeah, have a hardcore mode where it just turned off. That way the casual players who really like it can keep it and the Zacks of the world can turn it off.
I'm not a big fan of options in games.
Why?
I don't know.
It's just a huge old douchebag.
That's extremely true. Very hygienic.
Yep.
Where was I reading where somebody was like, that's a hygiene product, so thank you.
We saw that together, I think. Because I remember seeing this, like,
were
last
you guys out
days.
Shopping for vegan things?
Yeah.
Together at the Whole Foods.
Gluten-free douchebags?
Yeah. Where the fuck was that?
I have no idea. But...
was it Red Hot American Summer or Wet Hot American Summer?
No, I've only ever seen clips of that movie.
Okay.
However, it is new on Netflix.
The series.
Well, the series. They had,
that's a series?
Yeah, now it is. they brought the same character, the same actors back and played the same characters, even though they're like 10 years older. And yeah, so it was like Paul Rudd and God, who was it? Amy Poehler. There's a bunch of them. Even
David Wayne.
Even the guy, what's his name? Benjamin. His last name is Benjamin, that plays Bob's Burgers guy.
John H. Benjamin?
H. J. Benjamin. Yeah, because he played a can of vegetables in the original. And now this is a prequel. So because the movie is The Last Day of Summer. It's The Last Day of Summer. So the episode, the series, it's 10 episodes, is just the first day of summer camp. So it's The Last Day of Summer Camp is the movie. Now they're doing a prequel of The First Day of Summer Camp. That same year. And so John H. Benjamin, they actually plays him. He's actually in it himself. And they show how he becomes a can of vegetables.
So is there a lot of magic in
it's just goofy in
that universe?
It's just goofy. It's toxic waste. That's how he becomes a can of vegetables.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there is a fair amount of magic in that universe.
There wasn't.
Not really, but they killed kids and just shrugged it off. A kid drowns, and then like something else happens to a kid. They dump him on the side of the road. Like, they just don't even care. But anyway, we got way off topic. I still want to talk about... You cannot make me... You're trying to sidetrack me so that I won't actually talk about the free Xbox games.
Xbox!
It's a game thing.
He-Man!
People still own Xboxes?
Xbox X-Bonage. So, anyway, on Xbox 360, free this month in August, you can actually get two different Metro games, which is apparently was a first-person shooter I've never played.
There's a Metro Park and Ride.
Yeah.
And there's also Metro Bike Lane Express.
Right. But the two games are actually Metro 2033 and Metro Last Light. And then Xbox One, and maybe one of them is an add-on. I don't know.
Why is it called Metro? Because you are a heterosexual male trying to deal with your unbridled and unrivaled fashion sense.
Sure, we'll go with that. I don't really care that much about
you
it.
You also shoot people.
It's a 360 title, and
you're frustrated. You're not gay. You're just trim and neat.
Right. I just enjoy the lifestyle.
Right. But the ones that you
not
should
that
care...
Not there's anything wrong with that.
Right, yeah, right. But How to Survive Storm Warning Edition, I have no clue what that is. I think the only thing I actually care to talk about is the Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, which you can actually get in the first chunk of August.
Oh, man. You mean a game that should have been released as a demo anyway, but
yes.
They sold for like $30?
Yes. You could have played that for free, like you should have. So many... months ago.
You can't see it, but I'm rolling my eyes heavily.
He is.
I am really interested to see the Xbox One version after what they did to the PlayStation version.
Well, the Xbox,
they do to it.
They took away the last save screen. And without the last save screen, you can't post your records. You can't post your times and completion percentiles.
So you can't speed run it?
Well, you can, but there's no proof. You have to basically get rid of all of your old data in order to start the game again. Because when you get to the last, screen, there's no way out. You have to close. You have to close the application, and then when you come back into the application, there's no new game option. There's a continue game option because you don't have a save file for a completed game.
But what's interesting about this game, I think, is that it's supposed to be like a prequel to, or a kind of a...
it's a teaser.
Yeah, a teaser for the next one.
Correct.
Which is actually, from what I'm hearing from a lot of people, is actually going to be really fun to play and really interesting.
It's definitely a lot more open world than the other one.
Yeah, and I've heard about, like, you can capture goats and then tie a balloon to them and they fly back to your base.
Oh, if you watch the thing, he literally gets a horse airdropped.
Right.
To him.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, when he wants to send it back... He puts a backpack on it and it hits like basically a weather balloon and he goes shooting up into the sky.
I've heard there's all kind of ridiculous stuff like that in this game.
The thing, okay, the most, I would say, Metal Gear Solid Operation Dumbo Drop notwithstanding, there are lots of ridiculous things that happen in this game. And as far as like suspension of disbelief is concerned, like one of the things about the horse is that it's a silent mode of transportation, and you can also hide behind it, cardboard box style. If you see some guys camping out, you can then drop to the side of the horse so that they can't see its rider, and they're just like, oh, random horse.
Yep.
Oh,
Yeah, that's
horse.
Fine.
It's just who's a horse. That? Who's that horse? Who's that horse?
What was that horse?
Well, a lot of people are theorizing that maybe this was Kojima's, like, last full game coming out.
And so he was just like, fuck it.
Yeah, just fuck it. Hug it, chug it, football.
Well, the thing about Kojima is that he has often run into limitations of the medium or the politics of the game companies that he's running into. So I would say that he's just... I don't think it's apathy. I think it is probably unbridled creativity.
Right.
Everything he's ever thought of is going into this.
Right.
Let alone what might work.
Exactly.
Or make sense.
A really quick tangent. I saw online that Guillermo del Toro and Kojima are still in talks with doing a project. Not with Konami, not officially Silent Hill, but still doing something.
Okay.
Because there was such a big fan pour outpourage for that new Silent Hill game.
Right, because he was kicked off the PT team, right?
Who?
Kojima.
No, Kojima just left Konami.
Oh, okay.
And when you leave Konami, you leave all the Konami IPs, which includes Silent Hill.
What about Daryl? Is Daryl coming back?
I don't think so.
Well, you know what he's talking about, right?
Yeah, he's talking about...
Yeah.
Sean... Is it Sean? No.
No,
Sean.
No. Shit. Fuck shit.
Rasputin.
No, it's,
I don't remember his name. Yeah, he's one of the Boondock Saints.
Fucking shit.
Russia's greatest love machine.
Fucking shit? Russian's greatest love machine?
Have you ever heard Rasputin? That's
no,
all. That's
no.
Amazing. Either way, you know what I was wrestling with the other day? Because I don't watch a lot of Walking Dead. I think I was watching an episode in... Okay, when does Daryl's brother come back?
Merle?
Yeah, it was
Merle.
Yeah, it was Merle come back.
I think it was season 3.
Okay, I was watching, and they're in the prison at the time?
Yeah, that was the season with the prison.
I was looking at him, and I was like, I know that guy.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. You were talking about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until like 2 days ago I was like, that's Yondu from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
And I was very pleased with me and all parties involved.
Who were the other parties involved?
Actually, Captain J's mom.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
Either way, that'll go solid.
It's a thing.
Yeah. It's looking... So Ground Zeroes, if you're really excited about 5, pick it up free on Xbox One if you actually own one of those things. And yeah, it's a great little teaser. You should have gotten it for free anyway.
Yeah.
And it's actually it actually is a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. Worth $30. Arguable.
I didn't pick it up for $30.
I didn't either. And I love Metal Gear Solid.
Okay, the thing is, how many times have you played through that thing?
Me?
Yeah, through Ground Zeroes.
I haven't played it at all.
Dude... It's pretty deep. It's a lot deeper than your average demo.
I mean, then again, I did pay $60 for a demo.
What the hell? Why would you?
I bought the Final Fantasy Type Zero just so I could play Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, but you got a game.
But I did
with
get a full
it,
game out of it.
And it was a 10-hour demo.
It was good. And they just updated it to have more content. So.
The demo,
mm-hmm.
Which is dumb.
Why?
Because they should be putting more effort into actually taking the feedback they got from the demo and just putting that into the game. They don't
no,
need to
but what
change
they're doing
the
is
demo.
They're applying fixes to the demo. A, it shows players they're actually listening to the feedback. And the players can then experience some of those changes to make them more excited about the game.
Which also prolongs the actual release of the actual game.
By what, a week maybe?
You think so? Only a week?
I think that the stuff that went into the game didn't take that long to patch to the demo.
Okay.
Yeah, because the...
Then again, it's freaking Nomura. This game could come out in 2019.
Right.
Final Fantasy VII Remake was really was announced, and I was like...
It hasn't even worked on yet.
I'm like, I'm so excited for this game coming out in 2020.
Yes, exactly. I've heard a lot about that.
If not later.
Yeah. In fact, it was funny. The guy who was supposed to be in charge of the project didn't know he was in charge of the project until after that was released.
That's really funny.
Yes.
I will say this. I'm a little bit... actually, I expect it to come out a little bit sooner than some of the other projects because A, they have a story to work off of. B, they have characters to work off. They don't have to do all that character imagining and world building and all that. And B, the 20th anniversary is coming up in...
Yeah.
in 2017. So.
So what do you? When do you think Kingdom Hearts will come out? The next Kingdom Hearts.
Who the fuck?
I just wanted to get your reaction to.
I love Kingdom Hearts. I love.
Norman Reedus.
Norman Reedus. That's it.
Daryl is Norman Reedus.
And Norman Reedus is his name.
Who's Yondu?
Mark Zuckerberg.
No, I don't remember his name as well. I've heard it, but I couldn't. It might come off another 20 minutes into the podcast.
My first guess was that he was in the Green Mile. I still think he was.
I don't think so. He may have been.
No, I love Kingdom Hearts. I love Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. I will admit, though, I'm getting totally tired of the freaking handheld spinoffs, and I'm ready just for another mainstay title that actually does cool stuff.
I don't play the handheld spinoffs, but aren't they, like, pretty faithful to the original?
They're all right. But they feel like... They feel like filler until they get to the main course. Games are generally short. The games are generally... They kind of just expand upon what's already been told.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, there are lots of great games that I missed out on because I felt that way. Like, Pokemon Snap. I never played it.
Oh.
You never played Pokemon Snap?
And I was like, well, that's not a Pokemon game.
Until you take a picture of Mew. To take a picture of me, man, you haven't lived a life.
Yeah.
Right? And also...
game was the shit.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. There are lots of games that I was like, well, that's not the sequel. That's not the rest of the story. Why am I bothered?
I have played all of them.
Okay.
So it's not like I haven't played all of them. I just said I was tired of them.
Okay. That's true.
Well, take it back. I haven't played the one on the DS. I have not played... 3 billion whatever days or whatever the hell it's called.
365 one half days
whatever
of summer.
What hot American Kingdom Hearts.
So, what have you guys... I was curious, we can talk about... We haven't done this in a while. I just talk about stuff we've been watching or playing. So I was just curious.
Nothing to report.
Really? Nothing?
I'm watching Naruto Season 2. If you're interested to hear about Naruto Season 2...
Is it good?
Yeah, it's Naruto.
Oh, just because it's Naruto, it's good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the original series, I believe, started out very, very strong. And then as it became closer and closer to hitting the manga, where the manga was basically at the time, because I don't know if you know anything about anime that comes off of manga, but manga's produced much slower than an anime generally, because they have smaller teams. Hand-drawn and all that.
Attack on Titan, just one guy.
Yeah. So...
You're shitting me.
Nope.
Wow.
What do you call it? Generally, the artist is just one guy in a lot of the Shonen Jump things.
Yeah.
So Naruto started off really strong, but the closer and closer it got to the manga, the more and more filler crap started to show up. And by the time you hit Shippuden, it was just... ridiculous Dragon Ball Z levels of just stalling and ridiculous long amounts of drawn out storytelling. And whereas the first few seasons of Naruto was great, it was just like, we're going for this thing, and five episodes later they'd be like, we did this thing. By Shippuden,
that
one fight would take like 12 episodes, and
That marred season one of Naruto, especially when they were in the Village of the Waves.
Are you talking about like the 3-episode fight with what's his name?
With the crystal, the ice mirror magic.
Oh yeah, the is he a guy? Is he a girl? Kind of a character. Yeah.
No, and that just happens. You gotta.
No, but the thing is, it gets more and more frequent the deeper you get. And it just bothered me more and more. People still love Naruto. People watched it all the way to the end. People still love Bleach, whatever. And that's just my personal thing. I like anime to keep on moving.
Yeah. I did a Warlock patented Let's Search in the background. And who you're thinking of is Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker.
And he's not in the Green Mile.
He's a looker. Once I shook her.
And the butt.
Thank you.
Dude, that's against the law.
This isn't saying anything about Michael Rooker. It's about the weird way they did the Goombas in the Super Mario Brothers movie. He looks like one of the Goombas in the Super Mario Brothers movie.
In this particular picture.
Kinda, yeah.
In this particular picture with his head shaved, yeah. Yeah,
kind of. I know exactly what you're talking about, too.
Jenkins, what have you been reading? Not reading. I don't care what you read. We're not a reading podcast.
I've been reading Fellowship.
Have you?
Yeah.
It's good.
I've been thinking about doing a lot of reading. I have. I have a lot of comic books that caught up on, and I want to reread the Saxon tales or Saxon stories, because they're making that into.
You should read the Canterbury Tales.
No, but the BBC is actually making a television series on about those series of books.
Read Beowulf.
You should read Beowulf.
Okay, fine. I'll read Beowulf. I'll put it on the list.
You should be like every other hipster douchebag and read Game of Thrones.
But obviously not the real hipster army.
No, that's different. That's different. They're not douchebags. It's funny, actually. I got a story about that. Okay. Jessica actually listened to one of their episodes.
Okay.
And it's not for her, because they talk about video game stuff. She doesn't play video games.
Uh-huh.
But in one of the beginning of their episodes, they actually called us out for me telling them that their name sucks. And, no, this is a friendly banter type of thing. They thought I didn't like they thought I didn't like their name because they have army in their name.
Oh.
And let me just officially say to the real hipster army that in the circles I run in, hipster is often used as a negative term. That is why I do not like the name of your podcast.
I would also like to cover my ass by saying that I am one of those hipster douchebags that read all the books. Which is like, oh yeah, well, it was so much better in the book.
Right. But no, so officially, I like you guys. I just, the hipster word is just, for me, instantly sounds negative. But that's me. I understand that hipsters are not necessarily bad people.
That's because you don't like hips. Yes, all women.
Right. And they don't lie either.
Mm-mm.
And
so, you were going to ask me what I've been...
Yeah, what have you
been not
playing?
Reading?
Yeah, playing or watching?
Watching, me and Chelsea, the last thing we went all the way through was we watched all of Royal Pains. It was on Netflix, which is a good show. A new season just got added not too long ago. But playing, me and Chelsea picked up the Handsome Collection, the Borderlands Handsome Collection for the PlayStation
4. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that comes with all the DLC for both Borderlands 2 and Borderlands, the pre-sequel, and it has just a 60 FPS frame rate. And, oh, my God.
Pitch up for PC?
Huh?
Pitch up for PC?
No, PS4.
Oh, okay.
And because basically we picked it up, so we were playing the pre-sequel on the 360, and while when you're going through single player on the 360, the game is great. When you're playing it split screen on the 360, though, the game really starts to falter when there's too many enemies on the screen. It has to render them twice, and lots of slowdown and FPS drops will happen. So we got I got really frustrated. I'm a perfectionist like that. So we went out to the store and bought the Handsome Collection. It's just been awesome.
Awesome.
We beat Borderlands and went all the way through the one DLC it has, or the pre-sequel, I should say. And we actually are going back and playing Borderlands 2 again now that we've beaten the pre-sequel. By the way, look up Mainframe from the Borderlands pre-sequel track. It is the catchiest song ever made by man.
Oh. I've heard a lot of good things about Borderlands. I've never played any of them, but I think what I'm going to do, though, to introduce myself into the series is play the Telltale game.
Sure.
I think I want to do that.
I got that for Chelsea for Christmas. I got the season pass for the Tales of Borderlands, and she's really enjoyed it.
What is that? I don't think I appreciate the difference.
The Telltale games are all they take different like they did the Walking Dead episodic story. And it's more like storytelling.
Oh, so Tales of the Borderlands.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So and they also have a Game of Thrones one.
It's a point and click adventure style, and not quite, but it takes inspiration from those old Sierra point.
And something we've talked about before, I believe the Minecraft adventure story is going to be done through them.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Telltale Games, man. They make some good products.
So yes. How?
As Cody will say, my buddy of ours. Your anus is not ready for the emotional ravages of The Walking Dead
game. Yes.
So describe to me this point-and-click-esque but not point-and-click adventure.
It's kind of more like mini-gamey, I guess.
And there's quick events.
It's like quick-time events.
Yeah, and there's puzzles sometimes.
So it's a little more action-oriented than the older point-and-click games, but there's definitely... The main thing that makes them more harken back to the old games is because it's all about figuring stuff out.
Yeah.
It's all about storytelling as opposed to actually literally like combat.
And heavy choice making.
Heavy choice making.
Yeah.
So the new Minecraft game is not going to be hack and slash?
Probably not.
Aww, that's exactly what I wanted.
If you choose if you choose to make your house out of bricks instead of stone, 4 episodes later, you're going to regret that decision.
Exactly.
And you will not have banked up all the necessary save states to go back. You'll just have to start over.
So, guys, I've been watching, since you asked...
Nobody asked.
Yeah. I actually been watching Peaky Blinders, which is a show on Netflix.
Peaky Blinders?
Yep.
That sounds particularly British.
It is, actually. It's based in Birmingham,
wow.
England. And
last time I remember, you hated, like, British things.
It's a weird thing with me. I don't like British comedies, usually.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. But I like their serious drama. I love Sherlock. That's fucking amazing.
Sherlock is good.
I really love that. But no, Peaky Blinders is actually really good. It actually takes place, like, in 1919.
Okay.
And it's about a gang. Why are you smiling at me?
This is so...
Not you. I like it. It's a really good drama.
Right, then.
It gets real. It's at first. The first.
We're gonna go to the workhouse and have ourselves a crumpet tea.
Okay. To be honest, I was kind of falling out of, like, I was kind of getting bored with it, like, by the third episode. The fourth episode really picks up, and some dramatic stuff starts to happen. You can kind of see in the future that shit's gonna hit the fan eventually.
Hold on. So, what might be the roughest, toughest drama that you've seen on television lately is called Peaky Blinders.
Yep.
That sounds like a Sentai snowboarding anime.
It does sound like an anime.
I don't know where the name of the gang came from, but it's not even the name of the family. Which is interesting. They're actually called the Shelbys. That's their family name.
Oh, that I've actually heard of.
Yeah. Cillian Murphy, I don't know if you guys are familiar with him or not. He did, I think he was the guy that was in 28 Days Later, I think.
Okay.
And he played the main dude. And then Sam Neill's in it, too.
Sam Neill? Yeah. I haven't seen him since, what, Jurassic Park 3?
Yes, I know, right?
Remember that Merlin?
Merlin. I love Merlin.
Yes, he did Merlin.
Yeah. My family bought, like, the special edition or whatever. I had, like, the script, like, that was printed out in the book or whatever.
I remember being so disappointed that he beats Mab by not, like,
just
looking,
doing nothing.
Yeah, by just...
We don't believe in you.
And, like, it's just such a... Like, I know that's how it, like, ends.
Yeah.
Like, it's very traditional, but...
Yeah.
I was at that point so used to, like, you know, him turning around with, like, a rocket launcher and, like, shooting her right in the face.
Yeah.
So I was like, what is this crap?
It's nice to see him in this role because he actually plays the cop that's after everybody. So it kind of starts out with the gang. They actually come across these stolen crates of ammunition or munitions, I should say, like guns and stuff. And it's a big deal. It's kind of that those guns are kind of like the pivot point because it connects all these different parties. You got the cops, you got the gang,
the robbers,
right? The cops and the
Chevy Chase,
the gang.
Jack Palance,
and then the Republic. What is it? The People's Republic Army or whatever it was called. They had that.
All you got to do now is mention Steve Martin, and we got
all
the Three Amigos mentioned in this episode.
Jack Palance was not one of the Three Amigos.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Martin Short earlier.
Yeah. But anyway, I like it. It's a good show, and I recommend it for sure. I like those heavy dramas. Like I guess
is that on
it's on Netflix.
Not on Netflix.
Yeah, because I also watched.
I'll have to remember to put that on Siri to remind me to check it out.
Another one I also.
No, yesterday he sent me a text message to so that I could read an email, so that to remind me that he wanted to talk to me later.
Now, that's not the whole story. I also started watching Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Well, I didn't understand the context of Deep Space Nine
it's
when it came on originally.
Definitely a much more. I'm not gonna say deep. Deep's the wrong word, but
it's definitely more nine.
It's definitely a little less action intensive than we'll say like Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah.
So you have not gotten very far into the series.
Well, yeah.
because even in the first episode, it's all surrounded by this war that had just concluded. And now there's a lot of tension with all the different races that are out in that area. But anyway, that's why I like it because it actually has that element to it, kind of wrapped into the story.
Political,
yeah. War, yeah.
I just like Rene Abgerania's. He plays Odo.
I love Odo. But I love shape-shifty characters.
Shifty-shifty?
Yeah. I may have been difficult to hear because I was picking up a puppy.
So there's a puppy now on the podcast.
Yeah, so if this makes it in, if you hear a random little dog noise, that is my dog Buttercup. Mm.
It's funny. I listen to other podcasts, of course, and one of my it's funny because you'll hear in Kevin Smith's podcast, his dog, he yells at it during the podcast. He never edits anything out. So you'll hear him, and I can't remember the dog's name, but he just yells at it to shut the hell up.
Oh, are you going to go see Mama? But...
You want to do a top three real quick?
I do want to do a top three real quick.
Top three.
Talking about top three.
Top three.
Johnny ruined it.
I tried. I tried so
hard. That was a good
hard.
Moment.
No, but we have to do the theme song. Top three.
Theme song.
Tonight on the top three, we are going to be talking about the top three Pokemon of all time.
Time.
JJ's, why don't you start us off with your top. After the Cecil Lion thing, I want to end on a high note. Okay. Bottom three.
My least favorite?
Least favorite, starting with your most favorite of your least favorite.
Okay. The one, I don't know the name of it, but there's one that is literally a trash bag.
Weeping Bell.
Well, no. No, it is literally a trash bag. And it to me, it was just looked like very lazy design. Never been a big fan. Number two of my least favorite, Pikachu.
Really?
Not because I don't like him. He's just...
Overexposed?
Way overexposed. And he's not even close to the coolest Pokemon out there.
Right.
Not even...
close.
Right. That's not why he's overexposed. He's overexposed because he's cute.
Number one,
naked.
As is Jenkins' normal style, I can't just pick one thing. I have to pick a theme. I hate all the incredibly stupidly powerful Pokemon. I'm talking your Arceuses. I'm talking your Palkias.
Mewtwo's.
Yeah, like Mewtwo at the time, he was really powerful, but the ones they have now literally are like, I was responsible for making time.
Yeah.
I was responsible for making space. I was responsible for making those two who made time and space. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it bothers me because I feel like humans are now like... are no longer kind of... like, humans were always kind of like a step above Pokemon. I guess not really.
Never.
But it was always kind of like Pokemon's living in a human's world. And now it's very much... I feel like the humans are still in like a glass bottle. And they might as well be Pokemon themselves.
Right.
Well, there's...
There are theories about that.
Yeah, there's theories that humans were Pokemon.
Yeah. And there's also theories that Ash is in a coma and all sorts of good stuff. But it's just something bothered me about how just ridiculous the legendaries got. Like, I'm totally fine with there being really powerful Pokemon. Totally fine with Zapdos being like this insanely powerful bird, or Raikou being a very hard-to-find electric dog cat thing. But it just got really, really ridiculous as far as how powerful... like, there is no way you're going to capture the Lord of Time in a Pokeball. That just seems silly.
It's just got to be a super master Pokeball.
But...
it doesn't matter. You're going to go, Pokemon Go, reverse time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But what if the Pokeballs are also Pokemon?
Oh.
Anyway, that's my
Zach, go.
Three.
All right. I am going to start this off with, it's really just... There's nothing particularly problematic with this Pokemon. It's a fine Pokemon. I've used it before, but Togepi, the egg Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like when they started, they had egg Pokemon.
Sneaky,
before.
Powerful.
Are you talking about eggs?
Execute and executor.
Yeah.
Execute. I guess the first one of the... he was the predecessor of the trash bag because he was literally just eggs.
But the thing is that...
sentient eggs.
He's not just eggs. He's a few eggs put together, and they all appear to have a face.
Right.
So either they all share one mind and just have a lot of mouths and sensory organs, or they are this horrifying mob of things that have been just stuffed together.
Right.
I like to think that
it is the previous, that it's one thing with many faces. Kind of like, there was an X-Men like that, Chorus.
Mm.
Yeah, Chorus had three mouths.
So Togepi.
Huh?
Your favorite Pokemon, or most favorite Pokemon?
I would say least most egg Pokemon. Then I gotta give it to Klefki. Klefki for number two.
Is that the key?
Yeah, this thing is a set of keys.
That's stupid.
Like, no joke, that's Klefki.
There's a trash bag, there's a key, there's a set of keys, there's an ice cream cone.
Ice cream is my number one.
Oh yeah.
What's his name?
Sorry to ruin the surprise.
Yeah. Let's see, the ice cream cone Pokemon.
At least I covered the trash bag angle for you.
Thank you. Ice cream cone.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with the newer generations, even after the first, so mine are all going to be originals.
Vanillish.
Oh, jeez.
Vanillish. And, like, it couldn't be more clearly an ice cream cone. There's it.
Yeah,
it's first evolution.
That's exactly what it is.
Yep.
Okay, so my bottom three now.
Yes.
Okay. My bottom three, I'm going to have to go with Snorlax.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought Snorlax was one of the most interesting Pokemon because, you know, it's never awake. Although everybody has one. You're not supposed to be able to catch it unless you battle it, you know? And they're supposed to be hyper rare, but whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Bro. Okay, that one, and then Meowth. I do not like Meowth.
I can see that.
I don't like Meowth.
Yeah, that's one mechanic in games that I've always had trouble with, just because...
What, cats?
Huh?
Its ability is kind of weird, like...
The money thing.
Payday?
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's something like that in a lot of Final Fantasy games, isn't there, where you expend money in order to deal damage? I know it's in 10.
Oh yeah, Giltos.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
I don't know, I've never enjoyed that mechanic. It's never powerful enough to be worth it.
In Final Fantasy V, it was.
Really?
Samurais can blow through everything in the game if you have enough money.
Huh, okay. Well, see, there's a good example of Meowth, you know, isn't top tier, especially when using...
Absolutely not. Persian is nowhere even close either.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember my other one. I'm blanking right now. I'm just...
Chichimanga?
No. No, I didn't put a lot of thought into my bottom here. I thought we were just doing a top. But let's just say Goldeen.
Goldeen.
Yeah, I could see Goldeen.
Yeah, it's just a damn goldfish.
The thing is, Goldeen is, you know, usable.
Well, and it seems... I could be wrong. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I don't really care. But it sounds like Goldeen is a female and then Sea King is a male. Which is the evolution of Goldeen. Is that wrong? Are they both female or both male? It doesn't matter. Pokemon have sexes?
Yes.
Yes.
And all Pokemon, with the exceptions of Nidoran and Nidorina, and all of their evolutions, have both genders.
Okay.
Hitmonchan is always female. Hitmonlee is always male.
I did not... Oh, okay. Cool. I did not know that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You learned something today.
All right. So top three?
Yeah, go ahead.
Top three! All right. So my top three. Number three comes in at with Wailmer. I can't remember. Is Wailmer... What's his...
Never heard of Wailmer.
Take a look
at it.
That
looks like a whale.
Yeah, is that his... No, what's his evolution? Give me the evolution of Wailmer. We're doing a patented war search.
Let's search. Wailmer evolution... Bulbapedia? Is that Wailmer there?
That is Wailmer. Now, what is his evolution?
Wailmer...
Wailord.
Wailmer.
No, it's Wailord. That's his name. So Wailord is my third favorite Pokemon.
I'm Wailord.
Because he was the first Pokemon that just... The size was just ridiculous. If you actually...
So we're not counting Onix.
Well, Onix was big. But if you go into Wailord's...
he's as big as a whale.
Yeah, he's as big as a whale. Like, literally.
A blue whale.
If you go into his size comparison thing in the menu, you can almost like not even see the trainer in the picture.
He's like a couple of pixels.
Yeah, he's absolutely humongous. I always thought that was awesome, just how absolutely enormous Wailord was. And yes, Onix was the first one that was really big, because he was very big compared to the person, but not quite like Whale Lord. Whale Lord kind of showed him up. So my number two, and actually water is a theme in this list, I just realized, is just a classic favorite of mine, and it's Blastoise. The Squirtle line, really, all the Squirtles, but mainly Blastoise, because when I was a kid, I had Pokemon Blue, and I love the color blue, it's my favorite, so naturally I kind of went that way, and just, I love Blastoise. It's a turtle with cannons on its back.
It's a turtle with super soakers.
What's not to love? First off, you ever been hit by a freaking, like, a
power washer?
Fire hose?
Yes.
Power washer?
Let's go ahead and say it hurts.
Yeah. Number one.
My number one, and Chelsea here will totally agree with this, it's Magikarp. For whatever reason, I love that lovable little doof. Because one day he's going to evolve
he's the
and fucking kill you all.
Yeah, he's the Goofy of Pokemon.
I always just did the Lake of Rage stuff. It didn't bother.
Yeah. Nope, man. I love Magikarp.
Did you train them up?
Yeah, sure.
Do they ever get... Because I never bothered. Do they ever get any offensive techniques?
They get Thrash.
At 15.
Yeah, deals very shitty damage.
And the average level's what, 5?
Yeah, something like that. Around
yeah.
5 to 10 or so. So, Zach, what is your top 3?
All right. Number one, I think it had a lot to do with the episode of Pokemon that featured him heavily in Season 1, but Sandshrew. I always thought Sandshrew was fun, and I liked the... even though it was considered to be cruel in the episode, but Sandshrew's trainer, he would purposefully expose him to water. Like, he would make him train in the water in order to toughen him up.
Oh, wow.
I remember that episode.
Yeah.
Is it like training in 9,000 times gravity or something?
It'd be the same as you training, like, literally in fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. that's a great way to stay in shape.
Yeah.
But no, so I really enjoy Sandshrew. When I was a kid, it was not my favorite Pokemon. Like every kid, they had...
Sandslash looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I have a favorite line. This is my number two. The Bulbasaur line. Bulbasaur
nice.
Was my start.
Bulbasaur!
Oh, yeah. Squirtle bro, Squirtle battle. Squirtle sprite.
I just loved all the stuff he could do. With the poison powder and the sunbeams and the vine whips. And
he is the, when people speedrun the game, he's the one people pick.
Because he's easy mode, right?
Yes, for the first two, for the first two gyms, he basically just blows right through.
Yeah. And then finally, this was a Pokemon that I fell in love with 2 years ago. Just because of sheer talent, everything he is just raw power and amazing. Stantler!
Did Danny Sexbang get you into Stantler?
No.
That's his favorite.
I love Stantler. He can learn. Yeah, he can learn bite.
Is that the one that looks like a deer?
Yes.
Okay.
But the thing is that. In his antlers are these little bells, and he rings. His antlers are like tuning forks, and when he shakes his head around, they bang together, and that harmonic resonance is hypnotizing.
Oh,
so
interesting.
He also gains psychic abilities.
Ah.
Yeah.
He's definitely one of the more interesting Pokemon.
When I'm grinding out for a gym, I go to wherever I can find a Stantler near my level, because they drop crazy amount of XP, because they're incredibly strong.
Right.
I love them.
All right.
Is that all three?
Yeah.
Okay. Least favorite of my favorite is actually Togepi.
Really?
I like her because she's sneaky powerful. She's like, because I know in the show...
That metronome, dude.
Yeah, in the show, they had no idea how powerful Togepi was, and it was always like, it was a surprise, you know, when Togepi did something.
There was
no
that anime factor every once in a while, her eyes would just glow,
yeah.
And like the enemy would just be torn from the inside out.
Yes, exactly. So that's why I like Togepi. Other egg Pokemon, not really hot about, but... I like Togepi.
You're not hot for the eggs?
I'm not.
You're not hot for the huevos?
Nope, no huevos.
Executor.
No huevos.
Nope, I don't put huevos in this
you
mouth.
Feel like Executor could, like, do your taxes or needlessly fire an underling. Power cut back.
Yep. In the same vein as Magikarp, I actually have Gyarados as my second. Because I love that evolution chain. It's one of the most weird ones. And not only that, but I have a personal connection with it because I always put those two in my deck, my Pokemon deck.
Cool. Do you know what it's based on?
Nope.
There is a, is it Chinese? I think it's Chinese. I think it's a Chinese. It's a legend that if a goldfish could swim up a waterfall, it would turn into, and it would be able to fly and it would do whatever. So yeah, if a goldfish can jump over this gate, it would turn to a dragon. So that's what Garrett.
Absolutely, yeah. I love it. I love pulling that off in when I play. When I played the card game, I love that shit. It was then my deck. I actually still have that deck. It's him, and I had a lot of what's the Articuno. Anyway, number one.
Arcanine Slowpoke.
Number one is Psyduck.
All right.
I love Psyduck.
All right.
Psyduck is insanely powerful.
Yes.
He's the same as Togepi. Yeah. He's that anime factor of like, he's a lovable doof, and then all of a sudden he's just like, his eyes glow and suddenly explodes. Yes. Like.
Yep.
This is like the least Johnny Dim list we've ever had.
True.
It should have been like Slash Metal.
Just
making them up. Well,
Megadeth. Killed Beard.
In this list, I try to go back with what I liked when I messed around with Pokemon cards and stuff. These were my favorites back then. Now, I mean, if I was trying to go like my personality now, I'd probably do some like Hitmonchan and stuff like that.
Interesting fact about Golduck as well, or Psyduck Golduck. If you look at them, they pretty much should be reversed as far as the names. Everyone assumes it was a mistranslation.
Yep, exactly. No, Psyduck's the best.
Is there really a strong parallel between what they're called in Japan and what they're called in America?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
A lot of times no.
But a lot of times no. Like Charizard in Japan is Lizardon.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So his name's essentially in English.
I guess.
I don't know. I learned a lot of that by watching the Origins anime and also watching Japanese streams of Super Smash Brothers. Rosetta and Chica.
No context.
That's Rosalina and Luma, apparently, in Japan.
Oh.
I think that's all the time we got.
No!
Sorry, Zach.
We still have to talk about all of the great deals.
We still
deals.
Have to do the Poke Rap.
Yeah.
Oh, no!
Catch him, gotta catch him all.
Anyway.
Oh, I was gonna break it down. Gotta catch him all, Pokemon.
Deal.
Oh, Buttercup is looking at me like she's sad.
She's sad that the war pod's over.
But before we go, remember you can catch the War Pod each and every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, and Beyond Pod for Android. Follow us on Twitter at Warlocks Brew. If you would prefer a little visual stimuli, check out Warlocks on YouTube. And if you enjoyed what you heard today, go over to patreon.com/warpod and drop us a couple of bucks so you can have access to exclusive content and support what we do. We love you very much and we wish that we could stay, but I think it's time to say goodbye, everybody!
Goodbye, everybody!
Goodbye, everybody!